You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
That it is you who are mistaken about a great many things.
To SWTOR Reforged. This is episode 32, recorded on Monday, April 14th, 2014. Our show is sponsored in part by Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com, quality headphones for 30% off. Use our code Off the Record. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in the show, of course. And of course, Audible Trial. AudibleTrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Download your free book today at audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Today on the ship, we are going to be talking about a couple of things. Number one, we've got two new flashpoints. Holy God! And are they awesome? We've got all that and more. Other crap that happened in patch 2.7 and legacy weapon equality. Plus, we no longer have the Jedi Archives. No! But what we do now have is Agent Olan's intelligence report. Same crap, different name. And he'll be talking about the Killix Part 2, as well as Dev Tracker Post of the Week, the Grand Acquisition Pact by Tate Watson, our Star Wars Recommendations of the Week, plus the weekly winner of the Lore Masters Star Wars Trivia Question of the Week, and your emails, tweets, and or Facebook posts, and our SWTOR podcast fan site weekly updates on our holofeed. I'm Jedi Master Avarwin, and I'm joined by the one and only... Hold on a second here. We have a guest, Lieutenant Commander Rode. Come on up
you
to the cockpit,
learn.
Sir.
You had me back. There's something wrong with all of you.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hello, there's a Wookiee.
There, oh yeah, that's a good buddy Bodar up here in the cockpit. Say hi to Lieutenant Commander Rode. Thanks for coming on again, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks for saving our hides with Slimy the Hutt. We've got his brother Fatty the Hutt bearing down on us.
Have you tried a grenade?
Have I tried what?
A grenade.
Well, that's why we got you.
I see. You're only after my grenades. I see how it is.
No, don't listen to Treek. That's not right. We're not after your grenades.
You know, I've always wondered, have you guys ever thought of maybe playing catch with little Treek here? Because I have this ball.
Ball, huh?
It's a ball.
Uh-oh. Ball.
Treek, catch!
Oh, no, Treek, what are you doing? Oh, no. Oh. What are you... Hold on a second. You don't press that, Treek. Just... Oh, Lord. we're also here with Agent Olan.
Hello, Ivarwin. Welcome, Commander Rode. Glad to have you aboard. Hello, Twitch. Hello, chat. What's going on?
And the deadly, the dastardly Sith Lord Korv.
Tickling. I mean, hello.
We're not alone. We've got Boner and Q2F3. And of course, what would an episode of SWTOR Reforged be without our little treek?
Noopa, noopa.
Indeed. Well, it's great to have everyone here. And Agent Olan, we've got something quick to mention.
Yes, we do. Something really quick to mention. Remember our cartel pack giveaway. Be the first to correctly answer the Star Wars trivia question that I post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/SWTORReforged and win a cartel pack courtesy of us. But there's more on that, and including last week's winner, later on in the Hollow Feed.
Also, we've got a This Is Madness update for you. The last one of the year, of course. We reported last week that the final showdown between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi was going on. Between all of your votes on thisismadness.starwars.com, it turned out that the final showdown between the light and the dark side was between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. The winner of This Is Madness 2014 is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
F that.
I call a recount.
Damn October Sky reject.
59% voted for Obi-Wan and 41% for Vader. I got to admit, like, I'm really surprised by this.
I'm really not surprised. I mean, this, if you think about it, that first, or really the, I guess the last fight they had, unless of course you want to negate the episodes 1 through 3, like everyone else wants to, then the first fight they had, that wasn't really a fight. That was just an old man giving up. And quite frankly, I feel like everyone else just called crap on that and said, no, this is how it should have been. Lucas.
Right.
What are you saying?
Saying that Lucas needs to go away. Kind of like that Darth Maul game he just ruined.
Yeah.
Vader could have easily killed that old man in his bathrobe and taken his newspaper as well.
Taken his newspaper, you say?
Let's be honest now. In the first concept of Star Wars, the brown robe wasn't even part of Jedi attire. That old man just showed up on the set wearing it, so they had to play off of that.
Don't mock the bathrobe. They can fight perfectly well in it. The capes for Darths, though, just get in the way.
Well, luckily enough, that bathrobe was long enough to hide the fluffy pink bunny slippers he had underneath.
You know, I feel like everyone should go to work comfortable.
Yeah, don't apparently he did as well.
Absolutely.
That lightsaber hilt was really his asthma inhaler.
How'd everyone do with Double XP Weekend?
I don't want to talk about it.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh. I sense a story in there.
Yeah, really.
I have a bit of a confession. I already confessed this on my own show yesterday, but I kind of got distracted by another game, and I missed the whole weekend.
Yeah, I understand.
You fail.
Of course
at life.
You do. You also do a show about the game.
You fail at life, Rogue.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. That Elder Scrolls loser is not. Is nowhere in sight.
Oh, right, yes.
I'm Jedi Master of Arwen.
That's right. Dave isn't on this show.
Oh, jeez.
He was one of the things that had to go when we revamped it from Star Wars Off the Record to SWTOR Reforged. We wanted a quality show this time around. Speaking of which...
Look, Roy, can you push that button for me, please? Thanks.
This one?
Yeah. Wait, no, not that one. Not that one. Wait, that's
don't touch
wrong.
My coffee maker.
Sorry, just
oh Jesus. Oh my, you're buying.
There's a reason
button.
Why grenades only have one button.
You owe me a coffee maker.
I owe you nothing.
Frick, I thought we agreed to have that in the back. Not the
cock. Was a freak, not my coffee maker.
Oh.
What is freak up here? Unfortunately, she has legs. To come on, good tricky. Good tricky, sit down. Shut up!
Interesting. All right, guys. Well, let's make the jump to light speed and then make our way into the through the corridors into our little sitting area there. Talk some tour. What do you say, guys?
I replaced the hyperdrive during off time.
What?
Yeah, it's actually going to work this time. I paid actual credits to get it fixed right.
Are you kidding me?
Bodar's incompetent.
Are we actually going to have a...
Yes, all of our engines and our hyperdrive have been replaced.
So you mean to tell me we're going to have a smooth launch?
Yes, for once. Until you hit something and break something, and then next episode we'll have trouble again.
All right, well, let's give it a try. Whoa! It actually...
That worked?
It worked. Hold on a second. No, that's not right. Hold on a second here.
Quit breaking crap.
Ah, much better. Ah, she's back. All right, guys. Well, now that we're floating adrift in the space. Let's have a seat in the back here. So two new flashpoints, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
That finally dropped, and let me just take a quick look at our holo feed here. And let's see that. And okay, all right. Korriban incursion and assault on Tython. Very interesting. Who had a chance to play this? Not Lieutenant Commander Rhode, unfortunately, right?
I played one of them today.
Which one did you get into?
I did Korriban incursion. The damn Sith need to know their place. And, well, we kind of didn't leave them a place, so I guess I just defeated my own point.
Just wait until you see what I did with your Jedi Temple.
I don't like where this is going.
And I killed Liam as well.
And that's fine. Droids, he kept having to fight these droids. I don't understand why we were doing that. But
no, that dumb bastard showed up with the Mark 1 droids when he had far more powerful ones.
I kind of got confused why fighting droids would make me a better leader, but, I mean, he's the master. Who am I to question?
Yeah, look where he ended up. Underneath my boot.
That doesn't sound very sanitary.
Nah, not at all.
Just like Master Orcus.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
Yeah, you brought heart, Fred.
Fred.
Don't worry, there's no liquid in the jar.
Pass yeah, well, thanks to Treak just swallowing it. So, Fred, but Lou, you and I, we actually had a chance to actually get into this a little bit, and it was just us.
Yep.
And one of the... you're going to... Rhode, you're going to love this one.
Please do tell.
Oh God! So I gotta hand it to the dedication and the effort that Lou and I put into the Tython flashpoint. we did what was it? It was assault on Tython. Mm-hmm. And first of all, the assault on Tython flashpoint, we got up to the first boss, and just that tiny little window itself of gameplay, it was fantastic. I loved it. I love the idea of just the Sith are sacking Tython. Sith are sacking Tython. And you know, Lou was supercharged. He literally tells me, like, you know, you took our first temple, you're not taking this one. And we ran into that flashpoint just guns blazing. Lightsabers humming, I should say.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun. Now, I was tanking, and I'm 55. I've got some, like, 55 leveling gear on. Still trying to swap out for my old rating set. I had Doc healing, just to give you an idea of where we were standing with this.
Lou, you were on your Sentinel, right?
Yes, I was on my Sentinel, and I had Kira out.
Right. Just so you know, like, what our party composition was. Now, I'm used to getting into a SWTOR flashpoint and basically just, like, rocking through it without much of an issue. Even with that kind of party composition at level. But this one was with those two companions and Lou and I. And Lou and I are not... We're not bad at this game. We're pretty decent. We're not, you know, fantastic, but... I mean, I can definitely hold my own as a tank.
I just think back to the Rackle event when you say that.
Yeah, about that. I've got this! I'm dead!
I almost had it.
Continue well, with the story.
It sort of socked us. It got us good. Now, we cleared through a lot of the trash. We got through the first couple of questing areas, I suppose.
But, yeah, the first set of objectives.
Right.
Yeah.
First couple of objectives there. But, it wasn't, like, it was tough. It was really tough. And we struggled through it. For a lot of it, and I sort of like that because, you know, I know that halfway through what we actually played, we realized, like, okay, this is definitely like a four person. You've got to have four people. You got to have a dedicated healer, real dedicated healer, and some DPS. And it was great. And you know, we got through it up to a point, and then we hit that first boss and. Man, it was, and a lot of times too, like I was line of sighting a lot of the pulls that we were doing just to get them to come to me, and so we'd have them all grouped up so we can do, you know, a lot of DPS all in one area. So that's kind of how we got through it. But man, that first boss, he rocked the crap out of us.
Yeah, I mean, we were doing so well up until we, I guess, got into that second phase of the fight, and then he just destroyed us.
Basically, yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that, and I'm definitely looking forward to trying the Korriban version of it eventually when I finally get a 55. Now, Rode, I mean, you said you had a chance to play a little bit of that today?
Yeah, I've done with, you know, my actual non-PTS characters, with my live character, I've done the first part of the Republic side, which I actually just got out of about a half hour ago.
How'd it go?
I tweeted a little bit about it on Twitter, obviously, because that's where you tweet. I got stuck with two tanks and two DPS, one myself being a DPS and then the other being a Sage.
You
had
no heals?
Refused to heal. All right, now that I've got that out there, we went to the first boss fight, and I died. No, wait, second boss fight, I died, I got destroyed... And the healer, or would-be healer, shortly thereafter, got destroyed. And we struggled to make through. Now, these guys were better geared than I am, and I'm running around in 162s and 168s. So, it's ridiculous that we had that much problem with that flashpoint. And the entire thing was a struggle from fight to fight, not to die. Popping every defense cooldown every fight.
Oh yeah.
It was ridiculous. And I've done these fights on PTS, two manning them, and never had that many problems.
Wow, so they really ramped it up since it was on the PTS.
Either that or I've gotten really bad in the last 2 weeks and everyone else with me has also gotten terrible.
Right.
Because I ran with lower geared characters. This is now my best geared character. I went in PTS with lower gear characters and did just fine. No problems.
It's funny you mentioned that, Rode, because a little while before the show, I actually did Assault on Tython for the first time. And I just remember listening to a few different podcasts, and Jacob's mentioned before when he does PvP, how sometimes he'll get stuck with that 27K Inquisitor. Yeah. I was on a Juggernaut, and I had 18K. Which I didn't realize until I was already in the flashpoint. But I got in there, I had 18K, and I'm mousing over all my group members, and they're at like 30s, mid-30s. Nobody seemed to notice, though. We went through the flashpoint, no trouble whatsoever. We had two healers, there was a Marauder DPS, and I'm there on my Juggernaut DPS. I just let the Marauder be the, like, pseudo-tank, and I did my thing DPSing. And nobody died the whole way through.
So you
went
you,
pretty smooth.
Now, what kind of gear are you in?
I am in the crap that they gave you back in the day when you hit 50 and they, like, gave you those T&E's tokens.
Oh, okay, so you get the complete set of T&E's gear?
Yeah.
Hit 50? Okay.
That's about right, yeah. Because my guy got to 55 just by doing dailies. Like, he hasn't gotten a single piece of gear since he's been past 50. Mm. Which, it didn't even dawn on me because I don't know why. I just assumed because it was a tactical flashpoint that Bolster would be on. And then I got on there and found out I was wrong.
It sounds to me like these might be, like, very... And now that I'm thinking about it, this actually might be true. It seems like it's very healing intensive. Because Lou, don't you remember? Like we had a lot of the trash mobs were kind of they were all weak,
right? But they put out some damage on us though,
right? But it was the really strong ones, and there was always like one in every group. There was always one like elite in every group. Mm-hmm. And that was always, yeah, like the droid. And that was always doing like heavy, heavy, heavy damage to the point where you had to like stun the droid. And I had to LOS the rest of the group and we'd, you know, rip them down as quickly as we could. I was blowing cooldowns as much as I could. And then, of course, you know, the droid would be back up and then I tanked that guy. Like, that's how we got up to the first boss. And we didn't have that great of a healer. Like I said, we had Doc and he's got like barely level 50 gear on him. Because I haven't kept up with him.
Oh, you should have pulled out Treat then, because Treat could have out-healed him in her level 10 stuff.
You know, I didn't think of that. I don't know if I have access to Treat on my Guardian, because I got Treat on my Trooper, which, by the way, I went Vanguard DPS with that character.
Oh. Well, then you just...
For a million credits, you can have whatever you want.
You just need to open your collections window, and for like 700 and some odd change cartel coins, you can unlock Treat for every character on your account.
I sort of feel like, now, maybe, John, maybe you can sort of back me up on this. Maybe, don't you think that Treat should be an account-wide thing?
No, I don't think Treat should exist at all.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Sorry, Treat.
Hey, Treat, I've got something for you. It's a ball. A ball.
Yeah, looks like she's got something for you, too. She's cozying up to that leg of yours, man.
Oh, God, not again.
Yeah, you know, Fred, you might want to control this, otherwise it's going in the power core.
You don't know what the power core even is.
I've got the full schematic for this thing you call a ship.
Joke's on you, pal. This ship was built without blueprints.
SIS, sir.
We just soldered a bunch of old toasters together to build the Ebon Millennium.
Is that why it smells like burnt bread comes in here?
No, that's because you're sitting in tree.
Well, this power armor's going to be much more comfortable to get out of. Ugh.
I think Treek's got a little bit of a cold.
On you. He's good. He's wearing armor. Oof! Look at him.
I'm glad this suit is sealed.
It don't matter. Treek's poo has acidic properties.
Okay, so I guess that's all of our gameplay, right, guys? Anything? Anyone else?
Well, I mean, have you this 2.7 doesn't only come with the flash points.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, I want to sort of get into some of those patch notes as well, some of the highlights on that. All right, let me just double check this one more time. I got to throw that email out. Let's see. Satil Sean, we need your help again. Whatever. Here we are. Game update 2.7 invasion patch notes. New story arc. Forged Alliances. Start this story arc by speaking to a droid on the fleet near the new outbound mission hangar. New flashpoints, which we talked about. Nightmare mode is now available on the Dread Fortress. Even greater horrors await those who wish to challenge the Bastion of the Dread Masters, and the operation provides even greater rewards in the form of the new Dreadmaster equipment. Now, I know most of us here, we don't raid, or we don't have the opportunity to, but, Rode, I know some of your co-hosts there on Torocast, they raid a lot.
Yes, yeah, Mei is a pretty much top-tier healer, in my opinion.
Has she started Nightmare Mode with Dread Fortress?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were, the moment the patch went live, they were on there going at it.
Okay.
And apparently the first few bosses are incredibly easy.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer.
And when you come down to the final boss, that's when things actually get difficult. So, I believe that's where they're at as of yesterday. Right after our show yesterday is when they were going to take another attempt at it. So they haven't cleared the final yet, but I know a few guilds have already.
What, I mean, do you think maybe the first couple of bosses there are just a DPS check, and they're already like way past that anyway, which is probably why they thought it was easy?
Evidently, it's pretty much the exact same fight as the hard mode, yeah.
Okay.
So it didn't. From what she was telling me, it didn't seem like there was much put on it to make it a quote-unquote nightmare mode. So, it seemed like most people were making their, you know, first go and getting it. And that's a problem. If you come to nightmare mode and you're able to do everything on the first attempt, I don't think it was very much of a nightmare.
No. That's kind of disappointing, because they've been waiting for nightmare mode to come out for a while.
Yes, and from what I understand, some of the guilds that have only been sticking around until this point to see if the progression was really going to go up have now left.
Oh. Well, that stinks. Not to be a jerk, I really don't mean this in a negative way at all. I actually mean this in sort of like a positive, refreshing way, but I mean, when has Tor ever been difficult? Has it ever? I mean, barring, like, you know, game bugs that existed in raiding in the beginning of the game, like, I mean, I don't ever remember these flashpoints and raids ever being difficult. I mean, you go into Rift, and you get your butt beaten in, and then, like, coming from Rift into SWTOR, you're like a hardened general. You're like, oh, I'll take anything on. Om nom nom nom.
Well, I mean, you look all the way back to when they were first releasing new flashpoints with Kaon Under Siege and Lost Island. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think of Kaon Under Siege, initially the hard mode version of the bonus boss was horrific, at least in my experience. It was absolutely horrific, and I was with a bunch of, you know, former WoW raiders. I being the only one who wasn't really a raider so much. And then you go to Lost Island, which apparently has a lot of fond memories for those who actually enjoyed a challenge with this game, mm-hmm. including a lot of the top-tier guilds. And Lost Island initially was a very difficult flashpoint, which then got nerfed into the ground so that everyone could experience hard mode. And I think BioWare kind of missed the note on what hard content is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be for 100% of the fan base. It's supposed to be for that upper 10%, upper 5%. When you go to Nightmare Mode, that should be for the 1%.
Yeah.
You know, it's not meant to be an achievement for everyone. It's meant to be an achievement for those special few.
Right. The story mode is meant to be an achievement for everyone. You know, if you've been diligent and you really play the game and you've got a decent team, you can get into story mode and have fun with it. But then, like, hard and nightmare mode is really supposed to be like, all right, you know, come in here, all right, give it a try, but you honestly, like, you got to be at the top of your game. And I don't know. I know you said Mei is really good. She's a really good raider. You know, I've obviously never raided with her, but you know, maybe it's just the fact that when Tor develops When BioWare develops its flashpoints or its hard modes and nightmare modes, maybe they're not ramping it up to where their 1%, 5% top tier rating guilds are at. Maybe they're designing for the top 10%, 15-20%, where those guys that are like ultra good and in the top 1-5% are just like steamrolling it anyway because they're just a talented group of individuals.
Talented, dedicated, experienced, however you want to phrase it, I feel like from this point, the people designing the content are not the people it's meant for. And that is, I think, part of the problem. You know, and I'm saying all this as some, I'm not shy about saying it either, that I'm a casual player. I am not the top 1%. I'm far from the top 10%. In fact, the only reason my Jedi Guardian right now has the level of gear and has seen the latest two raids in story mode is because a listener took me with their guild and ran me through it. That's the only reason I've seen that content. So...
yeah, I hear you on that one.
Well, you know, in all fairness, though, this is the same thing where back in the day, World of Warcraft did the same thing. They noticed that only 5% of their player base was ever getting to see their hardest raids that were out there, so they started making their raids more accessible to everyone because they basically said it wasn't justified to spend their development resources to make a raid that only 5% of their player base was going to see. And 5% of their player base at the time was probably somewhat around what WoW or what SWTOR has total that raid in the game. Mm-hmm. And they definitely couldn't justify spending development resources to make something for 1% of the raiders. If they're going to spend their time making something, enough people have to be able to see it to make it worth their development time. Because, I mean, let's face it, guilds like Maze, they aren't the majority of the players. And with their limited development team, they want to make stuff that keeps a large group of people occupied.
Then I would say don't make nightmare modes. Just make story modes and make a ramped up hard mode with it. Release it at the same time. And take that development time that you would put into like a nightmare mode and dedicate it to other things that we've been asking for. Like Lou Pazak, right? I mean, wasn't there a community cantina where apparently the idea of Pazak was just like, you know, rested on ears that were never, it was never heard before. Oh my God, it was a Pazak. Where did we hear that? Oh, what a great idea.
Exactly. I mean, you know, both Fred and Rhoda have good points. All right, you know, you're going to want content that's going to challenge that top 1%.
Yeah.
But then again, limited resources, limited amount of developers. You want to make things more accessible for everyone. But, you know, there can be a compromise, I think. You know, you can have story mode. Okay, that's going to be the challenge for, you know, the regular player, the casual player. Okay? And then, you know what? I say keep the nightmare mode, but make it the nightmare mode. Okay, make it to where if a casual player or, you know, just a regular subscriber who isn't in that top tier, you know, yeah, they're going to get destroyed because, you know what, they're not putting in, you know, for no fault of their own, you know, the time, the dedication to acquire that gear, to hone their skills, to hone that coordination with the other members of the operations team. Right, to tackle that content. Okay, because you know what, if there are, to me, there are some points in the game to where again, you want to have that pinnacle of achievement to reward your player base. Okay, you know, every player base and every, you know, lots of games are going to have that top 1% that are there for the Uber challenge. Okay, so again, keep the story mode there, make that a challenge for everyone, but then give that, you know, a small player base, you know what, give them another sense of achievement. Give them that nightmare mode that they've been looking for, okay? Something that's going to make them bash their head against the wall.
Exactly.
You know, for a couple of weeks. You know, kind of similar to what WoW does with the normal DLFR and the heroic version. You know what? Here, you've got story mode, and then you got heroic. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, there was more to the update. Ranked Warzone Season 1 has ended. Characters that had qualifying rating have been mailed their rewards. Currently in pre-Season 2, and Season 2 will begin with 271. Garada congratulates the winners and looks forward to the bloodshed in Season 2. Ranked arenas are still active for teams to prepare for the next season. And no one here PvPs, right?
I don't think so. I'm a PvPer, actually, but I don't do it ranked because I hate endgame PvP with a passion.
Same. Oh, why is that?
I feel like expertise is probably the worst thing they ever tried instituting into PvP.
Mm-hmm.
It's never worked. It's always been messed up. And every time they try to make the simplest adjustment to it, it causes a complete crap storm with the community.
Gotcha. You think they should just rip that out?
I think they should, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it really wouldn't hurt things. Yeah, the PvEers that go to endgame could, you know, do something to... They could get some super buff gear and then go into PvP and annihilate. But like my co-host for my other show, who used to be a very prolific PvPer and SOTOR, would tell you, if the game, the armor sets were roughly the same, a PvPer would always destroy a PvEer in PvP because they know the strategy, they know how to play their characters against other players. It's a single team of PvPers will always destroy an organized PvE team.
Sure. Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, they know the strats, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's a different game. So, yeah.
It really is. You can't go into it with the same mindset.
No. Nor the same gear. Well, at least in this one, anyway.
No. Although, with the way Bolster's broken again, apparently, you can. Or, you know, go in with level 45 to 47 gear and completely annihilate. But supposedly that's been fixed. I haven't really looked at it because, again, endgame PvP.
Quash Hutball Pit. A new Warzone is available to play. Do you you get into that at all? Since you are into the PvP?
So here's what happened.
Okay.
I dedicated 2 hours of gameplay time on Wednesday during my vacation. And then I dedicated 2 hours yesterday.
Right.
And during that 2 hour period of time, I could not get into the Quesh Hutball zone. I got into Hutball a lot, and I got into several arenas, but I never got into Quesh Hutball. 4 hours of gameplay.
Wow.
Nothing.
And you just like couldn't get into it at all, as in you were just getting timed out?
No, I mean, I wouldn't actually get the Warzone pop for it. Supposedly it has a higher pop rate than any other, or a Hutball as a whole, I guess, has a higher pop rate than any of the other Warzone types.
Uh-huh.
Because I was getting a lot of Hutball, but I was getting Nar Shaddaa Hutball. I was not getting Quesh Hutball.
The Quesh Hutball one specifically is supposed to be like a 1 in 4 chance right now.
Yeah, well, I didn't get 1 in 4 hours.
Don't feel bad. I had 4 Void Stars back to back.
Ugh. Void Star's the worst thing they've ever put in PvP. I hate it so much. But, no, I didn't get that or the new Starfighter map. Mm. So, I have the worst luck in SOTOR.
Yeah, that one is Denon Exosphere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hopefully I'm saying that right. I sound like a total noob. Denon Exosphere.
Believe it is Denon.
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 All right. Yeah, I haven't tried that either.
I've done several things of Starfighter, though. And after playing for 2 weeks into another game that shall remain unnamed,
mm-hmm.
Starfighter was so nice.
Yeah.
I fell down again.
You hear me say this all the time. If you ever follow anything Quest Gaming Network, I always tell you I'm not into the PvP at all. Obviously, it's different for Elder Scrolls Off the Record, and you'll hear all about that later on. But when it comes to SWTOR, I don't like PvP. However, Galactic Starfighter, I really enjoy doing. It's PvP, and it doesn't feel like it. It just feels like a really hectic, space sim. I really enjoy it. I don't love it, but I like it a lot. I really do enjoy it. I like getting in there every now and again. It mixes things up. When I don't feel like doing a flashpoint or questing anymore or anything like that, it's cool to just kind of jump in. So, unfortunately, this week I haven't had a chance to get into the new Domination map, but I'm looking to get into that this week. Now that my I got my trooper up to, I think, like 12 or 13 or so, and I'm like kind of where I want to be at the moment with my trooper. I got to get back onto my Guardian and get those flashpoints under my belt. Then I can, and then of course there's Abby, my sage. She's trying to level her up as well. So we'll see. But
what level is she now?
Abby?
Yeah.
I haven't played her in a while. It's been a few months. She's low 30s, upper 20s, like around there somewhere.
Okay.
Didn't they say that there's another double XP weekend coming up next weekend?
No, not next weekend. I think
next month.
Next month in May.
Okay.
From May 2nd, Friday, May 2nd, until Monday, May 5th.
Yeah. See, that was a thing. Like, I wanted to play Abby a little bit this weekend, but I had the idea of the trooper, and I figured, some of the time that I have in order to play some Tor, I want to use the double XP weekend to get my trooper up just a little tiny bit, and just to get him off of that crap planet and...
Get him off Ord Mantell.
Get him off Ord Mantell. That's the big thing. That's the big hurdle. I'm off. That's why I said, like, I'm at where I want to be right now. Not that, you know, I want to take a trooper up to, you know, 13 and, like, you know, oh, it's a win for me. No, it's... I wanted to get him off Ord Mantell.
It's a win.
It's a crap.
It's a tarp.
It's a tarp. So, I just wanted to get him off Ord Mantell and just be done with it. So I'm using him now, and I have Treak tanking for me, which is a lot of fun, actually. So, believe it or not, isn't that right, Treak?
Do you notice Sushi talks a lot, though?
I don't mind it,
but you do notice what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I noticed
she, like,
it
talks before and after every single fight.
Yes.
You know, I could actually kind of support the idea of using Treak as a tank, now that I think about it.
She's good.
Holding her in front of you and using her as a shield while she absorbs all the damage. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Little known fact, Treak can actually equip blaster pistols as well, and if you give her one of those, she holds it like a blaster rifle.
Oh my god.
Great.
This is what we get for teaching a native how to use weapons. Thanks, whatever droid that was.
I guess he told you, huh?
I'm sorry, I don't speak native.
And Bounty Contract Week is back. The in-game event runs from April 8th to April 15th. Now, that's tomorrow, but if you're listening, obviously it's today. Ending at 12 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, that means nothing here among the stars, but somewhere in a galaxy far, far away, there may be a planet called Earth, and they might have time zones, and one of them may be Greenwich Mean Time. I think that was a lot of explanation for something extremely simple.
I think that was really lame.
That sounds like every podcast ever.
Oh, no.
That's what we do. We talk at length about the simple and make it interesting. Or maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know.
Well, that's the general highlights here of Update 2.7. A lot of interesting stuff here to get interested to be excited about. New story arc, Forged Alliance, two new flashpoints, nightmare modes available for Dread Fortress, though it may not be so exciting if you're into it. Ranked Warzone Season 1 has ended, so hey, congratulations on your rewards. Quesh Hutball Pit, New War Zone, of course, and then New Galactic Starfighter Domination, Denon Exosphere, is available. And, of course, Bounty Contract Week is back, but it's also ending. So, hope you had fun with that. 2.7 has arrived. Audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Thanks a lot, guys, for sponsoring our show in part today. Use that link, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork, to support us. But really, more importantly, to download your free book right now, Aki, today, here. There you go, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. We like to recommend Revan, Deceived, Annihilation. Definitely not Fatal Alliance, that crap tour book no one likes. It's awful.
I disagree.
All right, Lieutenant Commander Rode likes it, but he's wrong.
As he oftentimes is.
Rode, why do you like Fatal Alliance? Tell us some of the things that made you excited about that.
I wouldn't say excited so much as I was on a Star Wars novel binge. Mm-hmm. So everything containing the Old Republic, which is the only era I give a crap about anymore.
Try to convince me that book isn't crap, Rode.
Because it didn't involve the prequels.
That doesn't make it not crap. I'd rather read.
No, it really does. Actually,
that piece of garbage you gave me.
The prequels were the crap era. Anything else is acceptable. That's including the
prequels.
The EU.
Are only the crap era because they never made a movie about Fatal Alliance.
And you know what? It would.
Oh,
still
wait,
be
yes, they did. It was called Star Trek: The TV Series.
LC here, sir.
You're wrong, and so is your faction. Now shut up. Move on, Evolwyn.
He does realize he's outnumbered, right?
Yeah, exactly. if you would like to give Fatal Alliance a try, of course, audibletrial.com/QuestGamingNetwork. You can download it for free right now, today, and help support our network and our show, of course.
Wait a minute, I'm not outnumbered. Lose an Imperial agent.
Shh. Did it?
And moving along.
Double agent, I mean. Never mind.
Fred, what is this that you found on the SWTOR forums? Capote on the forums asks, can we have universal legacy weapons?
Well, basically what Capote points out here is that we have legacy weapons for lightsabers that can easily be sent back and forth between characters that use the same primary stat. For instance, if you have a Jedi Consular, or a Shadow rather, and you have a Sith Assassin, you can send the double-bladed lightsaber back and forth on your level 55s and keep using the same weapon. Mm-hmm. But the point that they bring up is when it comes to the non-Force users, like the Commando and the Mercenary, for instance. The Mercenary uses two blaster pistols, the Commando uses the big assault cannon. So you can't just send one item back and forth and use it on both characters.
Right.
And what he's suggesting here is to put in, like, smart legacy weapons where when you mail it across, it'll become usable for the mirror class on the other faction.
You see that working, Rode?
No.
Not even
in the slightest. And he's already pointed out why it wouldn't work. They would have to completely re-engineer either the weapon or the classes for that to work.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, for example, the blaster, you know, because you're using a pistol, sending it over to your, well, what would be your troopers, you'd either have to transform it into an assault cannon or a blaster rifle. That just doesn't work. And they've already stated in a... I can't remember what it was being talked about, but they've already said that they're not going to be changing things so the classes can use other classes' weapons. That's already out. That's not up for debate. As far as legacy items, I mean, you've got the tool to send that weapon to your other faction to where you can rip the mods out and put it into the weapon of your choice. So the option already exists. You're just going to have to spend a little bit of money on it.
Well, that's his basic complaint, is that you can do it on a Force user without spending money. But an interesting workaround would maybe be for subscribers to make it so you could pull mods out of adaptable gear without charging you any credits.
I don't know, because I'm one of the people that's actually for more money sinks being in the game. When you've got people like Bill that helps out with the Teeny Cast that has over 1 billion credits, yeah, he's super smart at managing his money. That also says that there's 1 billion credits sitting around that should be disappearing. You know, there's not enough keeping credits out. Credits are not hard to come by in this game at all. Unless, of course, you're lazy like me. In which case, you're always poor.
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
Laziness is not a bad thing. In fact, I enjoyed it immensely.
Indeed.
I prefer those that protect the Republic to be lazy.
Yeah, but we still somehow always win. You forget.
Tell that to Master Leo.
Oh.
Tell that to Sith Lord Regget.
And Master Orgus.
Oh, my. Oh. Oh, Orgus. Oh.
How's Barriss doing for you?
I killed him myself.
So that's another win. Where's yours?
So what you're saying is, you helped the Republic. Oh, defeated!
Don't make me come on your show and convince you that I like a book that I don't again.
All right, guys.
I'm for it. Do it.
Let's see. This one pulled up as well. The Dev Tracker Post of the Week. Grand Acquisitions Pack, April 10th, 2014, from Tate Watson, Community Manager. Let me just get a little further down on the Holo feed. Ah, here it is. He says, "Hey, everyone. Starting at 4 p.m. Central Daylight Time today, the first Grand Acquisitions Pack will be available on the Cartel Market for a limited time. The Grand Acquisitions Pack features a selection of items from the Cartel, Contraband, and Bounty shipments, and each pack contains one reputation item for either the Contraband Resale Corporation or the Bounty Supply Company, one rare bonus item with a chance of a super rare, one rare complete armor set with a chance of a super rare. Packs cost 900 cartel coins, which is 10% off, and will only be available until 11 a.m. on Monday, April 14th. So make sure you pick up a pack soon. Now, obviously, this is come and gone for us while we're recording the show, and as you're listening to this, certainly it's done and over with.
Yes, but it's still worth discussing because this is a new type of pack that instead of when you open it just randomly getting one piece of an armor set, you actually get a full armor set in there with the chance of it being a rare set. Or super rare.
Yeah, I caught that. I guess my question is 900 cartel coins. I mean, do you guys think that that's...
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, is that... To me, it's not worth it. I wouldn't. But I'm also a bit of a greedy miser when it comes to my cartel coins.
Wait, 10% off. But save 90 cartel coins.
There's more. What do you think, Lou? Do you think...
God, it's definitely, to me, I mean, I do understand what they're putting in there, so they're probably saying, well, that's our justification as to why we're charging you 900 cartel coins, even though it's 10% off.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, with the amount of free cartel coins we get as subscribers, okay, it's not me being super cheap with my cartel coins, it's also me being frugal about where I spend my real life money, okay?
If there was a definite about this... You know, I like the fact one rare bonus item with a chance of a super rare, okay? One rare complete armor set with a chance of a super rare. I like that. Go ahead, Luke.
That's a slippery slope, though.
Yeah.
Because they could code anything as rare. I mean, you could get one of those, you know, those god-awful Zerka sets as rare, okay? But meanwhile, we all know what the community wants, right? All the really cool looking armor sets we've seen on NPCs throughout the, you know, life of the game so far, that players have been asking for the past 2 years to be either craftable, you know, or obtain as rewards, requesting Flashpoint, Operations, and we know that's not how it's going to happen. Okay. Coming from the bad experiences I have with PWE, Peripheral Entertainment, and their series of games, alright, this to me is just, again, it's another way of them, yeah, you don't have to do it, it's optional, okay, to get this cartel pack, or to get this acquisitions pack, but what you're asking in return of your player base to dish out additional money on top of that, alright, because I can just see the nightmare where it's just going to be all the really ugly sets are going to be there every time. Okay, that's your rare set. So that's their excuse. Well, you got a rare set. Yeah, but it's some of the ugliest armors in the game that no one wears, and they just dump on the cartel market, on the GTN.
Right. Now, Rode, what do you think? Is this worth your 900 cartel coins, in your opinion?
I have a hard time justifying 300 and whatever it is just for a cartel pack normally.
Yeah.
And that's even with my stipend of coins that I get every month.
Do you think that's why they had this, you know, come like pop in and pop right out of the game? Maybe they thought like...
Oh, it's definitely gotcha advertising. You know, it's limited deal. It's percentage off. It's only here for a short time. Get it while you can. It'll be back in a few months.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same kind of deal. Just like right now. They've got the, Freelancer's Bounty Pack in there, 40% off. So it's going for 192 cartel coins right now. Yeah, that's an old pack. Been gone for a long time, but it's guaranteed to come back for a much cheaper price for a very short time. And yeah, people are going to buy it up as soon as they can. They're going to spend a ton of cartel coins on it, especially the subscribers, because that's where 90% of their money comes from. And then the GTN is going to be completely overloaded with these. So then I'm going to be able to pick them up for really cheap with the lack of credits that I have. And you know what? All I'm hearing is this actually benefits me a lot. So more power to them. I'm not spending my cartel coins on it. Whatever.
It's kind of crap because they just put all these armor sets in one pack. I mean, it would at least make it a little bit better if they separated the soldier type armor and, you know, the non-force users and put the force user armors in another pack.
That is my only suggestion for this. I like this. I don't think that 900 cartel coins is where the price should be. But I mean, hey, that's what you know BioWare wants to charge, then that's what they charge. And people sort of sort themselves out. You know, it's a little expensive for my taste, but there's some people out there that would say, hold on, you know, rare, chance for super rare, you know what? Here's 900. Let's see how I do. My only suggestion... Go ahead, Rod.
Well, all I was going to say is, if they did reduce the cartel cost of it, more people would definitely buy into it by doing so. But at the same time, the rarity of the present super rare sets that you can get for 10 million credits on the cartel market or on the GTN, those costs would go straight in the ground because then the market would be oversaturated.
Yeah, and you also don't want to over flood the market with these items. You don't want to do that. So I can understand that. I would just say it would be a good idea to sort of sort it out according to class. You know, hey, I'm a trooper. I want to make sure that I'm spending 900 cartel coins and I'm going to get a trooper type of gear. I want to be assured that. I'm a guardian. I want to make, or a Jedi, you know, a Jedi guardian, I should say. I want to make sure that I'm going to get gear that is going to look good on my guardian. I want to make sure that I've got those Jedi robes, etc., etc. Or maybe I want to mix it up. I for a while there, when I was about to hit 50... all through level 40, I was wearing trooper gear on my guardian because I wanted him to look like a war-ready Jedi. So I would just make that suggestion. Hey, guys, you know what's 30% off?
I'm going to guess tweaked audio earbuds.
Tweaked audio earbuds are 30% off. But they're only 30% off if you use our code OFFTHERECORD. So if you're looking to buy some brand new earbuds,
We'll get you 30% off. Use our code at tweakedaudio.com. You go over there, you spend, you know, $20-$25 on average. They've got more there. Of course, the price goes up to about $40 on some of these really nice earbuds. Quality's fantastic. You get worldwide shipping for free. For free. So you're not spending, you know, hey, Euro guys, you're not spending half the cost of the product just to have it shipped out to you. Shout out to our favorite East Midlander over there, Morq. It's free. Shipping is free. And their customer service is fantastic. What does that mean if there's ever a problem with your earbuds, your which sound great, highly durable? If there's ever an issue, call them up. They'll send you a free pair. Shipping is free still. They'll give you a free pair just to let you know that they want you to keep coming back to them. And they've got a lifetime warranty. But of course, you need our code off the record at tweakedaudio.com. Big shout out to Bruce and thank you for sponsoring our show in part today. Recommendations, guys. We're off to that part of the show where let's see if I can pull it up over here. Very nice. Star Wars recommendations. Rode, you're our guest. Do you have anything that maybe... I think this is sort of on the spot for you, but, you know, is there anything in the Star Wars universe that you would like to recommend our audience?
Don't Fatal say Alliance. Fatal Alliance.
come back to me.
Sure thing. Lou, what about you?
All right, this week, I'd like to recommend this website. Actually, let me pull this up here. Okay, and it's called Star Fortress Productions.com. Okay, and the reason why I'm recommending this is because when you go to their site and you see the big splash page there, the main page, mm-hmm. All right, you will see the different types of trooper armor they have there. Okay, they've got size charts, measurement charts. Okay, if you follow or know of that Imperial Cosplay Organization, or Imperial Organization, the 501st Legion, okay, Vader's Fist, and you said, hey, that's a really cool set of armor. How do they get that? Well, you know, lots of times they build their own sets, but they also may go to sites like this, and this is one of them, okay? When you go to the main page, obviously, you will see the different types of armors they have available, especially the different types of clone trooper armor from the Clone Wars, all right? Because for me, that is some of the coolest armor ever that I've seen in the Star Wars universe. For example, that forest/jungle armor they had when they were helping, you know, defend Kashyyyk. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the different types of colors that they have available, all right, to tell you what type of troopers they are. All right? Even the shoulder epaulets to tell you the ranks, what the positions were.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yep, that's all there. Okay, and not too sure about the weapons, but yeah, at least you can get the actual suit itself. Okay?
Are there any prices on Star Fortress?
I believe so, yeah. If you actually go down to... further down on their page, they actually have a breakdown. Okay.
Okay. So if you're looking to get into some trooper cosplay, Star Fortress is a good place to start up.
There's a caveat, though. I mean, what I have written in the notes here, if you've got that budget, if you have the budget and the desire to do this trooper cosplay, you know, this is a site, or at least one site, to check out. All right? Like I said before, they have different sets.
Yeah.
The different types of armors, accessories, to fit and build the kind of trooper you want to build. But again, if you've got the money and the desire.
And, Fred, verily, please, sir, I dare say.
Well, I found quite possibly the most intellectual recommendation that I've given so far.
This is far and away not your normal Star Wars recommendation by Sith Lord Korv. Nay, put away the Pez dispenser. Discard your Jar Jar Binks lollipop. Toss out your toilet seat. It's a crap decal
and the soy sauce and the lighter
in the lighter. We have... Go ahead.
This week, I bring you Star Wars as told by William Shakespeare.
I was just looking at that.
It is a period of civil war. The spaceships of the rebels, striking swift from the base unseen, have gained a victory over the cruel galactic empire now adrift. Amidst the battle, rebel spies prevailed and stole the plans to a space station vast, whose powerful beams will later be unveiled and crush a planet. 'Tis the Death Star Blast. Pursued by agents sinister and cold, now Princess Leia to her home doth flee. Delivering plans and a new hope they hold of bringing freedom to the galaxy. In time so long ago begins our play in star-crossed galaxy far, far away.
Bravo.
Oh, I love this. The droids are talking to each other. It actually says R2-D2. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Meep, squeak. Beep, beep, beep. Whee! C-3PO. We're doomed.
You can get it for the hardcover for $8.49. Fred found this on Amazon. And,
Our Twitch page at twitch.com/QuestGamingNetwork and click on the Amazon link and look for William Shakespeare Star Wars edition.
Let's give a little listen here to the preview.
If e'er thou leavest me...
Exeunt droids. Scene 2. Aboard the rebel ship. Enter Darth Vader carrying Rebel Leader One by the neck and stormtroopers.
The Death Star plans we could not find herein, nor are they on the main computer, Lord. In short, they are not here, and there's an end.
Thou speakest well, my stormtrooper, and yet not well upon my ear the message falls. I turn to thee, thou rebel. I lift thy head above my own. Thou canst now choose to keep the secrets locked safe in that head, and therefore lose the life thou holdest dear, or else to keep thy head and thus thy life. My patience runneth quickly out, much like the sands across the dunes of Tatooine, so tell me, else thou diest quick. Where shall we find transmissions thou didst intercept? What hast thou done, say, with those plans?
Darth Vader begins to choke Rebel Leader One.
Oh,
my God. Ah, so beautiful.
Very good. Great recommendation, Fred. I would actually like to recommend a Facebook page. That's right, facebook.com/funnystarwars. They're pretty popular. They've got over 19,000 likes. And what's great about this page is they've got tons and tons and tons of like Star Wars memes. So, or memes, I should say. So if you're on Facebook, definitely give these guys a like. Check it out. There's all crazy, crazy pictures on here. Good stuff. So,
is that Fred's? That's Sith Lord Korv's special tauntaun.
Let's see, Rode. What about you? Did anything come up yet?
Yes, I've got the best one yet. I can't believe you guys have somehow missed this.
Uh oh.
So, for those that might, like myself, have some of the actual SOTOR T-shirts, which are made by Jinx. If you go to jinx.com right now, that's jinx.com, all SOTOR merchandise is 50% off right now.
What? Are you kidding me?
I win.
You
see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I need it. You know, I can't find my old Republic t-shirt. So I think I need to find a new Republic t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think find a new ship to ride on too.
Don't worry, mine's been tailing us the entire time.
Yeah, how do you think he got on the ship, dude?
Shut up.
Do you really think I would get on board a vessel
with a Sith Lord and not have a way to destroy us all?
Not have a backup.
You think you can destroy me? I'm a clone.
In the vacuum of space?
I've been cloning myself for centuries.
Yeah, that worked out great for Starkiller, didn't it?
Last shout out of the evening, guys. We wanted to thank everyone here at Quest Gaming Network for sponsoring this show through their support and their effort through all aspects of the network. Check out Rift Off the Record Sundays at 8 p.m. And then, of course, us, we do our show at 7 p.m. And then right after us at 10 p.m. Eastern is Totally Heroes, the QGN news show that is awesome and sans pants. That's right, no pants. Then, of course, the Elder Scrolls Off the Record, we do that Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Classic Elder Scrolls Night, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern. And Community Game Night. If you're part of our community, join up, play some games with us. We live stream it as well. It's a great time. Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern with our community manager. So, to all the folks out there from Quest Gaming Network, thank you for your support and through your hard work and effort sponsoring this show in part as well. All times are Eastern, of course, and all of our live shows are done here at twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. Lou, you are up, sir. Time for the intelligence report by Agent Olan.
All right, and today we will continue from last week, part two on the Killick. And today we will pick up on the Dark Nest Crisis, the Joiner King. Or in a little quote here from Aristocrat Formby, that's really all I am at liberty to say, except perhaps that the colony is only one of the terrors remaining to the unknown regions. For the Dark Nest Crisis, the Killicks would remain sequestered in the unknown regions for millennia. Year zero before the Battle of Yavin, their homeworld of Alderaan was destroyed by the Death Star. But no Killick was present on Alderaan when it was destroyed. The insectile species had long existed within their own private pocket in the unknown regions. Their expansionistic impulses were kept in check, and they only spread to a handful of worlds in the unknown regions. This period saw occasional acts of extermination between rival hives and warfare. The Reconnaissance Corps of the Chiss Expeditionary Force, Defense Force, had been aware of the existence of the Killick colony for centuries. While observing them, they noticed the insectoids were slowly expanding over time, but were never classed as being a threat. At this time, the Chiss had suffered labor shortages as a result of the Third Figari War that led to several of the families hiring entire nests from the colony. This was deemed a perfect solution, as the insectoid aliens were plentiful, industrious, and not averse to risk. The Chiss were aware of the potential creation of joiners from contact with Killicks, and thus imposed very stringent precautions. However, for reasons not truly understood, these precautions broke down due to the result of sabotage. It was suspected that this was a result of possible Chiss interfamily rivalries that resulted in two entire families becoming joiners. While devastating to the Chiss, a further three families had become critically dependent on insect labor that led to a dispute within the Chiss ascendancy. A significant change occurred amongst the Killicks in 27 years after the Battle of Yavin. A starship called the Tachyon Flyer, carrying three Force-sensitive humans including Raynor Thul, crashed on Yagoi, one of their colonies. Raynor Thul dragged Lomi Plo and Welk, the two remaining survivors and Dark Jedi, from the burning wreck, though they were all badly burned and mutilated. The Killicks there rescued them and began to heal the survivors. Eventually, all three were absorbed into the Killick Hive Mind. While undisturbed by the Yuuzhan-Vong War, the Killick colony was stirred into a state of frenzy following the accidental arrival of these castaways. The absorption of these Force-sensitive joiners led to the primary rise of Killick Force abilities. Raynor Thul took on the persona Unu Thul, while Lomi and Welk became the leaders of the Dark Nest, or Gorok, a secretive Killick Hive. Since Raynor had been absorbed into the Killick Hive Mind, his values became their values, especially his value of individual life. When Raynar emerged, he was in control of the Yogoi nest and began changing it to better help the Killix. In time, the Yogoi hive spread about local space to provide for itself and share the gift of Raynar among the kind. Vol's efforts included the use of trade for food and equipment between the nests along with the establishment of the Unu nest. This era was not without conflict, as there were attacks from a disapproving nest along with a period of starvation as the flourishing nests stripped their worlds bare, but the beginning of the colony was cemented as a kind spread across local space. The result of this encounter led to the imposition of a single will on the colony that led to nests all across sectors acting in concert with one another where they pursued a single unified purpose, namely expansion. In 29 years after the Battle of Yavin, the first satellite nest began to appear on the border of the Chiss Ascendancy. In addition, an exponential population growth erupted amongst the Killix after they began to make use of hospitals to care for their sick and began to use their interstellar trade to alleviate the cyclic food shortages that once kept their population numbers in check. The process was not an easy one. While Killix were peaceful, like most hive-based species, they had no value on individual life. At least one rival nest attacked the Yogoi hive, but the hive survived, either defeating or absorbing the attacking nest. Then, the cyclical food shortages, which never faced the Killix before, required them to begin trading with other planets and races. However, they also began absorbing more non-Killix into the hive mind. By 35 years after the Battle of Yavin, when the Killix were rediscovered by the Galactic Alliance, they were still barely surviving. At the same time, the colony had expanded to 375 nests, though it is unknown how much of the total population of Killix this represents. However, the existence of the Dark Nest was unknown to most Killix. In 35 years after the Battle of Yavin, under the manipulation of the Dark Nest, the Killix began expanding into the borders of the Chiss Ascendancy, starting a dispute which the Galactic Alliance was forced to mediate. Following their absorption into the Killix, the Joiners introduced the insectoid species to the Galactic Alliance in the same year. In an attempt at bringing peace, it was deemed that Korubu was too close to Chiss territory. As a result, it was expected that the Nests were going to make more contact with Chiss exploration and mining crews that would provoke renewed hostilities. The Jedi delegation managed to trick Raynar Thul into believing that the Nests were growing hostile as a result of accepting Chiss Joiners, and that the only way to avoid this was by moving the nests from that region of space. Leia Organa Solo offered a newly discovered region of space containing rich paradise worlds in Utugu Utugetu Nebula. Such planets offered plenty of lush foraging ground for the Killix, who were always interested in expanding into new territory. Furthermore, they were located in a subsector on the edge of colony space. While an attractive prospect, the Killix lacked the means of relocating the entire Tot nest, though the Jedi offered the use of the Hapan battle dragons as transports. Once the terms of the Korubu truce were accepted, the Killix departed for the Utugetu Nebula as part of the Tense Peace Agreement. The temporary ceasefire saw the Killix move to the cluster of uninhabited planets in the Paradise Nebula. The Swarm War. Under the terms of the Korubu truce, the Killix of the colony agreed to settle with Teeba and 13 other planets in the Utugetu Nebula rather than continuing expansion into Chiss space. Wateba was settled by the artistic Saras Hive. Unfortunately for the Killix, Wateba and all the other planets in Nebula had an ancient environmental defense system. Whenever the planet was hit by the nova that formed the Utugetu Nebula, all animal life was wiped out, but plant life was restored within 2 years by the defense system. At first, Wateba seemed a paradise for Killix colonization, but the planet attacked them any time they interfered with the ecosystem, destroying both structures and living beings with a corrosive substance known as Fizz. Yes, Fizz. Nanomachines which broke down the intrusive objects or beings on a molecular level. As a result, the Killix believed the Jedi had purposely sent them to the planet to fall victim to the Fizz, but this was not true, merely a lie of the Dark Nest. At the same time, the Dark Nest had been sponsoring the use of pirates that were being used against the Galactic Alliance and smuggling black Membrosia that had an addictive effect on the galaxy's insectoid races. In 36 years after the Battle of Yavin, the Killix abandoned the Nebula for 14 Nest ships built in the Tusken's Eye, alongside the next ship of the Dark Nest. This fleet captured the Galactic Alliance Victory-class Star Destroyer Admiral Akbar in preparation for the invasion of the Chiss Ascendancy, thus starting the Swarm War. The hijacking of the Star Destroyer led to increased tensions within the incident, putting the Galactic Alliance and the Kilix into a state of war. Attempts to prevent war were ruined when Jedi Knight Jason Solo attacked the ship of the Chiss Expeditionary Defense Force in an attempt to lure them into a preemptive strike against the Kilix. Many of the Kilix allies were sectoid races, including Fefsis, Plakaxes, Geonosians, Yamri, Stutibs, Skurs, Verpines, and Pratixis, due to the fact that they became joiners more quickly. During the war, the forces of the Galactic Alliance were led by Supreme Commander Gilad Paleon and the New Jedi Order by Grand Master Luke Skywalker. The Alliance eventually won, despite that a Kilix coup in Thyfera resulted in the loss of Bacta. After the defeat, the Kilix went back to their original culture in peace and isolation from the rest of the galaxy, including the Chiss and the Unknown Regions. With the conclusion of the Swarm War, teams of Jedi from the Jedi Order began seeding more than half the Kilix colonist planets with the Fizz nanotech agent that had been discovered in the Etzigetu Nebula. It was believed that this would rise to 100% based on the Jedi's knowledge of Kilix territory. This was believed to be a failsafe that prevented the Kilix from reconstituting the colony as if they began overpopulating their own worlds. Then the nanotech environmental defense agents would bring down the nests to a more manageable level. While the Chiss weren't satisfied, it was believed that the Kilix had no further reason for restarting hostilities and would soon lose capacity to do so. By this point, it was believed that the Kilix began to revert to their natural state. Apocalypse. Afterwards, 44 years after the Battle of Yavin, Jedi Knight Trainer Thul, Lobaka, and Tekli journeyed to the Celestial Palace in the Rio system in order to speak with the Thurut Queen about the recently freed Avaloth. In response to this news, the Queen had her entire nest prepare for the end of the galaxy. And this concludes part 2, the Kilix. Next week will be part 3 and a conclusion on this insectoid species. Hope you all enjoyed it, and I want to say thank you to Wikipedia, StarWars.com, and Force.net and other sites for having all this great lore at their disposal. Folks, if you enjoy the lore as much as I do, please visit all these sites, take a look, and enjoy reading.
And Agent Olan, please continue the finalists for the...
Yes.
Right. Cartel pack giveaway.
Right. Okay. Quick rundown of how this works. Again, I post a question on our Facebook page, Swordtory Reforged. Okay, facebook.com/Swordtory Reforged. I post it under myself, under my own name. Okay, can't mistake me. Okay, it's posted to Lou Salon.
Lou's right there.
I'm right there. When you give your answer, please include your character name, faction, and your server with the answer. The first three people with the correct answers enter a pool, okay, the finalist pool, and a random winner will be chosen by either Fred or Ivarwin. Okay, so last week's finalists, or this week's finalists, I should say, are Brandon L., LS Green, and Ben B. And a quick recap of what the question is. Here we go. Clue 1. My people were once slaves until the Jedi and Republic freed them during the Old Republic era. Clue 2. During our long enslavement, we became masters of kinetic communication. Clue 3. Looking for excitement, I joined a galactic organization known for its corporate dominance throughout civilized space. Clue 4. Investigating a slavery operation, I became romantically involved with a young spacer trying to collect a debt. And the last clue, I was an expert mime who used these skills to assist me in my line of work as an auditor. Who/what am I? Slight pause. Dramatic pause. And the answer is, well, the short name is Fiola, but her official name is Harden Parn Gora Fiola of Lord. Okay. Fiola is a main character in one of the Han Solo adventures. Hey. Yes, that's the young spacer. She gets involved with.
Okay.
All right. So.
Now's the moment of truth, man.
Okay. All three finalists have their number assigned to them. One of you, either Frary or Varwin, will have to choose between one and three.
Well, let's ask Rode.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, man. I'm going to have two people very upset with me. I'm okay with that. Let's do this. I'm okay with this. All right. So, a number between one and three. That'd be two.
Two? Okay. So, Ben B., you are this week's winner of the free cartel pack from Sword Tour Reforged.
Ben B.
You other two can take solace in the fact that Rude doesn't like you.
So, Ben B., if you're listening to the podcast, be on the lookout for an in-game mail from me. I will properly identify myself. And your free cartel pack will be on its way. Congratulations.
He'll send you a mail that says, "Hi, friend. You want to buy credits?"
Let's not go there.
Yeah. Now it's down to our, our social hollow feed here from Twitter. You guys have weighed in this week, and starting with Jason Connell, you said, "At Solitary Forged, you can name that episode anything you want, but to me, it'll always be, in quotes, the tickler. Great show as always." Ryan Keough says, "Chilling to the latest at Swotori Forge, but knowing I still have an awesome At Utini cast to listen to. Man, over 6 hours of podcast to listen to. Goodbye, sleep." And Jason Brown, "At Swotori Forged, we're running out of donuts. Perhaps you should take a break, then plug the server up in a couple hours." Jeremiah Cummings says, "First April Fool's joke was a new class, the Sarlacc Enforcer. Also, did you see that Musco said if you crashed your asteroid into another, you get a first bump bro achievement?" Bad Feeling Podcast says, "At Solitary Forge, at Torocast, at UtiniCast, podcast love. Y'all are awesome. Hashtag SwoTurPods." Greg Stackhouse, "Going to level a Marauder. I don't have a single Empire tune at 55 for some reason." And Lord Fluffy Duck, also known as Madmar, at Swotor Family, says, "At Swotor Reforged, don't know if it's been in your pick of the week." And he sends us a link here for Star Wars Nestle Gold Blend Coffee Machine. C-3PO, R2-D2, Darth Vader coffee machines.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
That's brilliant.
It is, isn't it? Also, I mean, look at the Empire and Rebel Alliance mugs.
Coffee mugs. Oh my god.
Isn't that amazing?
But what about the coffee stirrers? Come on.
That's classic. Oh my, that's a win, folks.
Yeah. This is coming off of Japan Trend Shop and Madmar at Swotor Family. Thank you very much. Also, this week on Facebook, we hit 100 likes this week. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work, everyone. Thanks for coming on in and saying hello. John! Our Swotor community! Did we give you the hollow feed? We didn't, did we?
Yes. I've got it.
Okay. Sorry to put you up on the... Jeez, I'm sorry.
And I'm here. I'm good.
You're good. Okay.
We're doing this.
Okay.
Do it live.
Hold on a second here. Wait. Okay. Let me just send that over to his comm link there. And sent.
By that, you mean the calculator he gets to watch.
All right. I guess I'll just go down the list here. So, my show, Torcast, episode 195, the 5-year anniversary show, was posted on 4/9 over at Torcast.com. And to go along with that, episode 196 was posted earlier today, also at Torcast.com. Go figure.
Corellian Run Radio, episode 114.
Well, hold on a second there. Why don't you vamp a little bit on that one? Five
years.
You
mean I actually get to talk about myself?
Of course, yeah.
That's the one thing I'm actually good at.
Or I can do it if you'd like.
Please, tell me more about me.
Well, the five-year anniversary was amazing. Sam was on there, and he basically talked about how everything went wrong, and eventually the show ended up in Rhodes control. And then continued to go wrong in the true spirit of Torocast.
I deny nothing.
My goodness.
We were mentioned briefly toward the end.
I remember all of this. It was too long ago.
Everybody was drunk.
That might be part of it. I don't drink, though.
Sam definitely did.
Death sticks. They're a hell of a drug.
Want to buy some death sticks?
So we had our five-year anniversary show. It's kind of actually amazing thinking about it that the SOTOR community's been around for at least 5 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing, isn't it?
It's a big thing.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. The only thing in my view was that episode 200 is on the horizon. And then I'm thinking about it, we hit 5 years. Yeah. It just kind of crept on me.
I'll tell you what. I mean, in the land of podcasts, very few ever make it to just 50, let alone 5 years worth of just dedication. Now, I know, show hosts flip-flop and topics and change and the way you do the show changes, but just the fact that you have a continuous stream that, every podcast, especially in the SWOTOR podcasting community, every one takes on its own texture, its own feeling, and to keep that going for listeners and to keep the listeners tuning in every week is quite the achievement. So congratulations to you, to Sam, everyone there at May, everyone there at Torocast, past and present. Congratulations. 5 years is not an achievement to snuff at all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, to be honest, we do go into it much more in depth on the show, but, Torocast almost did die. Mm-hmm. Just like pretty much every other podcast from the beginning.
Sure.
Corellian Run Radio is still out there. There's still several other podcasts that are around, but of the first generation, the whole model that we've kind of had since I took over was first one's in, last one's out. And I'm going to keep on going with that motto until it's finally time to close up shop, but we're trying to keep it going.
Well, may that day never come.
I agree. Oh, man. This is going to be a long ride.
It's been 5 years.
But it's
fun. Game hasn't even been out 5 years.
Until it's not fun anymore.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, enough about me, even though I could go on forever about that. Going back to it, Corellian Run Radio, episode 114, available at CorellianRun.com since 327. UtinaCast, episode 130, is available at UtinaCast.com since 410. SOTOR Escape Podcast, episode 33, is available at NewOverlords.com since 47. And the Bad Feeling Podcast, episode 9, posted on 410 to iTunes and at BadFeelingPodcast.com. Be warned, this is an explicit podcast, which is why it's one of my new favorites. Of course, if you've listened to 195, that was also kind of an explicit podcast. We did title it Uncensored.
Ixnay on the take. Move on, Evolve.
Also, please follow our friend, Madmar, at SWOTOR Family, for the latest happenings in the SWOTOR community and the quite a SWOTOR community ambassador himself. If you'd like to have your podcast listed on this segment, just send us an email at swotorreforged@gmail.com. Of course, hey, when it comes to following the show, you can email us anything at swotorreforged@gmail.com. You can find our show at swotorreforged.com as well as questgamingnetwork.com. We've got a Facebook page that's at facebook.com/swotorreforged. You can tweet us at SWOTOR Reforged. That's SWTORREFORGED. I'm Avarwin. You can follow me at Avarwin, EVARWYN. Lou is at GamerGuy11B. That's GamerGuy11B. Fred's at SithLordKorv, KORV. And our good friend here, Lieutenant Commander Road. You can follow him on Twitter at That Road Guy. That Road Guy.
That's me.
Final thoughts, gentlemen, and we'll start with our guest.
All right. Well, it's been a fun show. Thank you guys for having me on.
Sure.
And hopefully I'm actually going to get a little more involved in the near future. I mean, I've been logged in during the entire show, but I've only been running crafting missions. So nothing really productive except for putting myself further in the poorhouse. 55 crafting missions, man.
Thanks. Yeah, tell me about it. You're going to hate me for this, but I'm going arms tech with my trooper.
Why not? That's what my old trooper is.
I know, but you always say how broken it is, so I'm just, you know.
It's, yeah, it's worthless.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know, like, I know, I've heard you say it's worthless, I just don't know for myself, so I'm going to check out the worthlessness that is arms tech.
I just use it to make barrels. The weapons that you craft for it,
uh-huh.
Why bother crafting the weapons? They're all ugly, they sound like crap, and I'm sorry to the art team, I really am, I used to love them, but since you guys started putting in better things that I can use before level 20, I don't need it.
It's kind of like a half insult, half compliment, you know?
Well, I mean, they've also invalidated Artifice, in my opinion, too, since you can get at level 10 the level 50 crystals.
Hmm.
And they look better that way, too.
That's so, what Artifice people make die now.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm on right now, is my artifice making die that I'm selling on the market for really cheap and still making a profit.
There you go. That's how.
Because I'm undercutting everyone else. That's how you work.
Speaking of die, though, and we forgot to mention this earlier when we talked about the market, but did you see that they put a white and white die on for 1,000 cartel coins?
What?
Wow.
Did you see they put the pink and white, and then they changed it very briefly to the black and pink?
No, I just saw that they had the white and white up last night for 1,000 cartel coins.
Hmm. Lou, at Agent Olan, your final thoughts, please.
We need to get back in there and finish Assault and Tython.
Yeah, we do.
Incursion.
Absolutely.
We need to do that ASAP.
And Sith Lord Korv.
It brings me immense joy to know that I did better than Evalwin with 18,000 hit points. I actually finished my instance.
You got carried.
I did not get carried. I did more DPS than the other guy.
Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. Of course, this was a good show. 2.7 is great. Looking forward to getting back into game and playing more of those flashpoints, of course. Here we are. We're coming up to Manon, and if you take a look at your the window just outside there, we can take a look at it. And quite pretty.
We all said, right.
Why is it getting closer?
Why are we at Manon?
Well, take care, everyone. Be safe, and may the Force be with you!
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.